Research suggests that today, or maybe even last night, over 40 million people in the United Kingdom will have made a New Year's resolution of some kind. Research also suggests that by the end of January, 20 million will have stopped it. And it's reckoned that actually less than 10% of everyone who makes a New Year's resolution will actually see it through to completion right through to December of this year. Now, I know that some of you are to be commended, for last year you resolved in your heart to join together and to use the Nicky Gumbel guide for reading the Bible through in 1 year. And those of you who've done that, isn't it wonderful to actually get the sense of that one narrative running right the way through Scripture? And I commend it to you if you want to pick that up as something for this year. 20 minutes or so every day listening to David Suchet read Scripture and to have some reflections from Reverend Nicky Gumbel himself. But making decisions can be relatively easy, can't it? All those of us last night who said, oh, after the feasting, I must go on a diet. And then you face Sunday lunch. Making decisions can be a lot easier than keeping them. Because keeping them requires dedication. It requires resolve. It requires faithfulness. And faithfulness is certainly present in our three key characters in our gospel reading this morning. First of all, Mary. Mary is bewildered, yet believing. In Luke's account, she remains silent. Her mouth closed, but her heart wide open to everything of God. Mary is faithful to the promise of God. And then there's Joseph. Must have been just as bewildered by all these events as Mary was. And yet he remains faithful to her. He stays with her despite all the circumstances surrounding their situation. And the comments that will be taking place in the community about them. He is faithful to Mary and he is faithful to God's calling. But then we have the shepherds. And initially we're told that they are terrified by what is going on, by seeing the angel. But from the information that the angel provides, they find the family in Bethlehem. And then they stand, they kneel, they're in awe, utter awe and reverence at this child, the Christ child. And then the shepherds are faithful to their calling from the angel to go and tell everybody else. Presumably the fact that Luke knows that is a very clear response to the fact that they did. They went and shared the news. People got to hear about it. But we often fail to consider what happened next, really, don't we, with the shepherds. Medieval mystery plays make much comic invention out of it, actually. But they went. They shared that message. They told others about what they had seen. I wonder how many people heard it. I wonder how many people believed what they heard. I wonder how many people, as a result of hearing what the shepherds had told them, ended up in Bethlehem to have a look themselves. But I also wonder how many people just chose to ignore it because they were shepherds. Who are you to tell me that? You've gone all religious on me. And anyway, you're a shepherd. What do you know? In Christ's day, shepherds were in a very lowly place in the social pecking order. They actually went alongside tax collectors and dung sweepers. But it wasn't always like that. It wasn't always like that. In the past, shepherding and to be a shepherd held high status. It was a wonderful thing to be involved with. It was a noble occupation. But it changed during the 400 years of their captivity and their bondage in Egypt. The Egyptians were agriculturalists. They grew crops. We know well round here, don't we? Sheep and goats don't go well with crops or flower beds or anything else like that. And so the Egyptians, across those 400 years, at this change of attitude towards shepherding came in. A prejudicing towards them was developed and established. And yet, these people, who at this time were excluded from so many other social activities with the rest of the community, and when they could access the temple, and yet these are the folks who are told first about the birth of Christ. These are the ones who get the first opportunity to see the Christ child. None of us, folks, are excluded. None of us from encountering Jesus Christ. The invitation is there for each and every one of us. Such privilege, such recognition, such honour given to these shepherds. And we don't know how many people responded. We really don't know. We don't know what they were told by the shepherds. We don't know what they thought of what they were told by the shepherds. They would have chosen to listen or not, just like today, when people are told about Jesus Christ. Folks choose to listen or not. But the shepherds, what we know of what they did is enough. And it's fascinating. They responded. They responded swiftly. They responded enthusiastically. That must have been captivating in itself, mustn't it? But that was all those years ago. What's that to do with me? We are all called to do the same. We are all called, just like the shepherds were, to share that good news, to tell everyone of what we know about the love and the faithfulness of God. The course Christianity Explored starts at the end of this month. And since the summer, we've been talking about it, writing about it, publicising it within the church here in Upper Wensleydale. Inviting people to pray, inviting people to consider who it is that they feel is on their heart to invite to come along to explore what it's really all about. The Lord wants his church to grow because he loves the world. And he wants us to grow, both in our depth of our discipleship, but also he wants us in that depth of our faith in stepping out like the shepherds did to share that invitation. And it's all of our responsibility, isn't it? Because we all know someone. We all know someone who isn't yet in that situation of knowing Jesus. You know someone now, and you're thinking of them. And you're the person to invite, because I don't know them, but you do. And it's a case of stepping out and using the invitation cards that we have available and inviting them to come, to accompany you. We don't know if someone will respond or not. But you know, their response isn't our concern. Our concern is that we give the invitation. For just like the shepherds, some will respond and some will not. And so we come to the covenant prayer that you were given as you came into the building this morning. A covenant is a promise. And if you're looking at that prayer now, it's one created by the archbishops, our archbishops. It's one that we have used many times before, early in January. And it's an opportunity for us to say to the Lord, yeah, here I am. Help me, Lord, to know you more, to love you more, to follow you more, to serve you more. In all the different ways that that will be and that will look like for me as I walk this year with you. I'm going to read it through just softly myself to you first. You listen to it as you read through it. And then I'm going to invite us all to say that together. If you have the heart to do so. I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Wherever you may place me, in all that I do and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me and when there is none, when I am troubled and when I am at peace, your will be done. When I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing, I willingly offer all that I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious God, you are mine and I am yours, and may it be so forever. And let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven.